This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Camp San Luis Obispo. Right now, we're with Lieutenant Colonel Brian Windsor, commander of the base. Hi, Brian. The reason I live back with you is scuttlebutt about your base mission to go carbon neutral. You would not immediately think that that would be a primary mission of a military organization, concern about the environment and carbon neutral and whatnot, but it very much is.
Yeah, and you're right. I don't think people would normally associate military operations with carbon neutrality, but there's certainly a linkage there. You know, the 2018 National Defense Authorization Act had a requirement for DOD to provide a report back to Congress about the potential effects of climate change on the military, in particular its installations. And that report, when it came back, did actually affirm that there are effects on the changing climate that could possibly have negative impacts to Department of Defense missions and installations. So that right there we see as a challenge for us here at Camp San Luis Obispo on how we're going to meet mission because of the effects of climate change.
And you really are. You're touching on all the different dynamics and departments of energy consumption and energy output.
Yeah, we are. You know, the easy way to do it would be to be an energy resilient base. It's just to stick a bunch of generators everywhere,
right,
and turn them off when the power goes down or there's a brownout. And then, you know, technically we would meet mission that way, but we don't think that's necessarily the responsible or even the feasible way to go. We see green energy resilience, specifically carbon neutrality, as the right way to go.
So obviously solar.
It is. And luckily we've been able to partner with our energy provider, PG&E, and we're breaking ground this month on our solar panel project. And that's going to result in 1.8 megawatt solar array on our south-facing warehouse roofs here at Camp Slo.
Very, very cool. And as I recall, your mission is to loop in the neighborhood, too. It's not just on base that will benefit from your solar and your new projects.
Yeah, that's right. The solar array that's planned is more than enough to meet our needs here. And so when we're not consuming that electricity, it's provided back out into the grid. We're also looking to install a battery backup system down the road so that we can get that 24-hour energy resilience that we really need.
I recall county sheriff and some of your immediate neighbors that would benefit too. Is that true?
The electric grid here is pretty complicated, and there are multiple providers. So right now, we provide that energy back out to our provider, but anybody else downstream from them would get the benefits of that solar power.
Another energy consumer are your vehicles. And
yes,
we both know a couple.
Yeah.
I can't remember the model, but that heavy transport, I think it's like 4 miles per gallon.
Yeah. We have some real old clunkers here that are in need of replacement. And so our plan is to try and get our fleet, we have just over 40 vehicles in the fleet, to eventually be replaced with electric vehicles. And actually, before that, in anticipation of that program, we're installing, starting this month, 48 electrical vehicle charging stations.
On base.
On base, yeah, all over the base. And those will be for that fleet and then also for the government employees' personal vehicles, if they have an electric vehicle drive to work.
So if you're CalGuard and you show up, you can plug in your vehicle.
You certainly can. And it's not just limited to us. It's one of the reasons Camp San Luis Obispo was chosen for this program was because of our location in the Chorro Valley. We're adjacent to a lot of other government entities here with the CMC, the sheriff, Cuesta, and all of those employees will be eligible too.
That's really cool. Cast the net a little wider, some of the other projects that you hope and you're planning to work on.
Yeah. So, you know, we so far have talked about kind of one side of that energy coin in getting enough clean energy for us to do our job, but it's really it's a two-sided coin. We have to consider our energy conservation efforts too. And one thing we've done already was tackle lighting. So we've replaced inside of our buildings and outside all of our various lighting fixtures with all LED throughout the entire installation, inside and out. Another thing, an ongoing project but is well underway, is we have 304 buildings on the campus. So it's a lot of those are transient buildings. They're not used all the time. Mm-hmm. And buildings are a giant energy suck. So unless you're going in and out of the buildings, turning them on and off and making sure the power's turned off and the heat's down, you're spilling unused energy. So we have installed a digital energy control system that allows, from a central location, allows us to turn buildings on and off remotely.
You have the sensor lighting where you walk into the room and it senses you're there and the lights come on?
We do. Every new rehab of a building project we do, we replace standard switches with proximity switches. So lighting is used just when it's needed.
Interesting. What are some of the other areas? You know, I think of solid waste management. Is that part of the project?
It is. So, you know, energy resilience is one thing, but we're lucky enough, you know, when I'm looking out the window right now, I see what an amazing place Camp San Luis Obispo is situated in here in the Chorro Valley. You know, it is a fragile part of a really complicated ecosystem. Chorro Creek bisects the entire garrison of the base and feeds into the Morro Bay estuary. So we take that as a, you know, solemn obligation to protect the Chorro Creek. So we're working with our partners here in the watershed to build programs and projects that protect the Chorro, specifically looking to prevent as much erosion as possible.
So that would also imply planting to stabilize the soil.
It is. Soil stabilization, as well as degrassing the installation as much as possible. So we've worked a lot with the California Conservation Corps, who's right here on our base, and they have fantastic native landscaping program that we're looking to extend outside of their campus onto the rest of Camp San Luis Obispo. I've talked about things we're doing here, and it's really something that we can only do because I'm lucky enough to have the support of a staff that is as passionate about this kind of work as I am, and being able to do it here amongst a community that is so supportive. So Camp San Luis Obispo has got unbelievable amount of support from all of our local Chorro partners, the Conservation Corps, the Slow Climate Coalition, others in the county have been a huge help in advising us and helping us with these programs. If anybody is just interested in trying to figure out what they can do, I would encourage everyone to take a look at their own carbon footprint, their own environment. We've got just one planet and we're all in this together. So if you can help our community be carbon neutral, you're helping everyone. You're helping yourself. You're helping Camp San Luis Obispo. And if you're looking for any other opportunity, you know, to serve your county, your state, your nation, just come on down to Camp San Luis Obispo. I'll swear you into the National Guard.
There you go. Let's talk about Camp San Luis Obispo as a community, as a base, as primary and secondary mission. It's California National Guard. But yet you do training for regular Army. You have Air Force guys here. You have periodically people from all branches of the service who train here.
We do. You know, our primary mission is to train the Army and Air National Guard to go fight and win our nation's wars. That's always our primary mission. But we have quite a few secondary missions that include other agencies and other military groups using Camp San Luis Obispo to do the same and to do other types of training, whether that's a community support training, civil support operations training, and we also host just a number of tenant agencies that are purely civilian entities that do training here in Camp San Luis Obispo.
And there's one, as you know, I've been involved with, the California State Governor's Office of Emergency Service, a whole facility here where they do a breadth of training.
Yeah, so Cal OES, the California Office of Emergency Services, uses Camp San Luis Obispo to conduct a lot of training for its staff and for other agencies, for other federal and state agencies, for state emergency civil support. Camp San Luis Obispo is uniquely positioned to do that because we're a fantastic location that offers a lot of outdoor and indoor training space for them and a lot of capability and partners who can come here all at the same time to provide the training.
In specifics, you have hazmat, anti-terrorism training, a whole breadth of very specific surgical training that goes on here.
We do. We host a lot of search and rescue. We have a lot of, you know, a lot of people think that Camp San Luis Obispo was this tiny little place off of Highway 1, but we extend all the way up to Cuesta Grade, and so we've got a lot of area. There's a lot of real estate here to come out and facilitate training. You know, we can be the forest and we can be the city all in one training day.
That's really cool. Let's go back in time for a moment. The birthing of Camp San Luis, as I remember, it was originally called Camp Merriam. Going back, what, to the 20s?
It was 1927. The California State Militia was looking for a place to train its soldiers. It had, before that, had to use a lot of private land, large ranches to train, so it was looking for its own facility to do that, and they found this wonderful little location here situated right between Los Angeles and San Francisco, so folks could come here from all over the state to train.
30 years ago out front, your sign said, Home of the California National Guard, which has been updated to the original home of the California National Guard.
It sure has, and I don't hesitate to remind people that this is the original home of the California National Guard.
So all of a sudden, World War II is looming on the horizon, and my recall is that This base, in its modern iteration, was basically constructed in 47 days in the wettest winter in the last three decades before, in the middle of the winter.
It was a rapid expansion here when it was used as a federal training base for World War II, which actually, I'm glad you mentioned that. That's part of the problem that we've inherited as the modern California National Guard, is how we can preserve this area when it, you know, accounting for the fact that it went through such a rapid growth period that didn't take into consideration a lot of biological preservation and cultural preservation endeavors at the time. It was not the focus like it is for us now.
It wasn't on the radar. Yeah.
Right, right. But it is for us now. And so, you know, we are working to try and preserve as much given the array of the facilities we have now.
And then you're a Cuesta grad, but you were there after they built the new facility. But I have friends that went to the original classes there, and they were in World War II Army barracks.
Yes. Yeah, I'm a Cuesta grad and a Cal Poly grad, and a lot of our neighbors here are on what was originally Camp San Luis Obispo, including Cuesta, the Sheriff's Department, and the CMC.
Yeah, and CMC, I remember somewhere, maybe Camp Roberts, there was a historic photo, an aerial of this base. And where the prison is, that was the parade ground, and that was part of the base.
Yeah, that's right. There's some fantastic pictures of what this entire area used to look like when it was covered in buildings and tents and tens of thousands of soldiers training for World War II. It was pretty impressive.
Across the state of California, there are three California National Guard training facilities. What are the others?
So there's Camp Roberts, just to the north of us here, and Joint Forces Training Base down in Los Alamitos. And I am biased, though. I do believe that Camp San Luis Obispo, the original home of the National Guard, is the best one.
Pretty good duty.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm not complaining.
And do you guys have a website where somebody could go to?
So we have a pretty good Facebook presence now. If anybody's interested in what's going on at Camp San Luis Obispo, we post a lot on our public Facebook page, including periodic hikes up our mountain out here. If anybody wants to come out and give a hike up Sierra Romualdo, we do that about once a quarter.
Oh, cool. Lieutenant Colonel Brian Windsor, thanks again. Always a pleasure to come on base and visit with you. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Thanks for coming. Appreciate
it. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Camp San Luis Obispo on the Central Coast.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. And in fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So yes, please support your local NPR station.
Seventy-five years ago, World War II ended. It was the deadliest military conflict in history, resulting in 85 million casualties. We mark the anniversary of the end of that war by celebrating the heroism of our greatest generation, those who served and those who supported their efforts at home. On September 2nd, we will commemorate the signing of the Articles of Surrender aboard the battleship Missouri Memorial at Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. A celebration of the peace that followed. Salute their service, honor their hope. Join us virtually for the events on September 2nd, 2020. For further information, go to 75thww2commemoration.org.
This, ladies and gentlemen, is the end of the Second World War.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Four Seasons Resort invite you to sponsor a legacy tree and contribute to the biodiversity of Hawaii. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Every tree dedication is a living legacy and a gift which grows grander year after year. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul.